even as you turn the Bible and the books, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 3. But even as you flip through the pages of God's Word, and there's different chapters in the books, there's also different chapters in churches. And you'll see new names, you'll see older names that will kind of fade into some other things, and new names will come in, but there's one name that remains, and that is Jesus Christ. That is the Lord Himself. Our names can change and we can move on, but God needs to stay. If we're going to be the church that God's called us to be, we need to continue to remember that we are all replaceable except for Christ Himself. And I don't want to forget, there is a carry-in dinner, in case I forget. There is a dinner in here after service. If you didn't bring anything, you need to stay anyway, because there's a lot of food out there. I saw it. And this is just kind of a celebration for Randy and Beth being with us. And I think there's chicken. There's all kinds of good stuff out there. So you all be a part of that, and hopefully you stay for that. So there are some good cooks here, and some are, I'm sure it's good. Well, we're going to be in Philippians, and I'm going to read just a little bit more verses than I normally do, but we're going to be in Philippians chapter 3. I want to remind you here that Paul is in prison. And one thing I'm very encouraged about in the book of Philippians is Paul writes one of the most encouraging letters while he's in prison. One of the most encouraging letters while he's there. And so you would not think that this would come out, but when you have Christ, there's a joy inside of you. Even through dark times, God can give you a joy. God can give you a peace. When the world would say that there should be no peace, but in Christ, you can have peace in almost all situations. And even when you're in your roughest moments, when you are out and you are down and out, I'm going to tell you, there is a peace that is still there. And it is a joy. If you touch into that, and that is Christ Himself. But I want to read a section here when it comes toward the end of this letter. I'm somewhere in the middle to the end, and we're picking up in verse 12. He says, "Not that I've already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. All of us who are mature should take on such view of these things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already obtained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, would transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body." In verse 2, it says, "I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche, to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of the fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything be in prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your request to God, and peace, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And he says in verse 10, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned. You have had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content. Whatever the circumstances, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me, yet it was good for you to share my troubles." Verse 19, "And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I want to tell you, Paul is in this place. It's not a great place, but I want to tell you he's being positive and sending an encouraging message to the people of Philippi and wanting to encourage them to stay and stick with Christ. I want to share some things, and there's a lot in here, but I want to share some things that I feel that Paul was putting forward here through these scriptures. But one I think it is there needs to be need to be beyond a shadow of a doubt. He's speaking to people who are believers. So I think you need to know that you are saved. You need to know that you have salvation. You need to make sure you know that you have salvation. One thing I know through this scripture here is Paul is confident. He is a confident individual who is confident not in the world, but he is confident in his belief in Christ. He is confident in Jesus himself. We need to be more confident in Christ. We need to be more confident in Christ Jesus. That our foundation is in Christ, not in the world. That our faith is in Christ, not in the world. We need to be sure. We need to make sure that we have confidence in Him in all things. In all things. This is what makes Paul so strong. His confidence in our Savior. Not just in our salvation, but in our whole life. In the beginning and in the end. But he admits that he is a work in progress. How many of y'all are a work in progress? God's still working on you. Okay. Yes. And God is not going to be done with you until you enter into the gates. So you, Paul, the great apostle Paul, says, I'm not there yet. And I think if he's saying that, I'm saying that, and hopefully you're saying that God's not done with you, but that you are still a work in progress, which means if you are a work in progress, you are allowing God to put his hands on you, not just yesterday, but even today, and he's still got his hands on you in the future, and you're allowing him to put his hands on you because you not just say it, but you're experiencing the scripture, and you know this, that I'm allowing God, because I'm a work in progress, I'm letting him work on me. It's one thing to say you're a work in progress, but it's another when you know that you're allowing God to work on you, which sometimes becomes uncomfortable. Because God, when he works on you, he's going to pull you and tug on you, clip on you. He's going to mold you like clay, and it's going to become uncomfortable at times. Your lifestyle may change. The things that you do may change. But we need to know this, that I am a work in progress. I'm a work in progress. But he also says, his name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know how important it is? Because he says there's whose names are written in the Book of Life, which is the Lamb's Book of Life. You know how important that is to know that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life? Because if it isn't, Revelation tells us that those will be cast into eternal fire, into hell, into the lake of fire. But those who are names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Book of Life, those will enter into the gates of heaven to be with the Lord forever. So that Book of Life is really important. And to know that your name and you have confidence, even though you know that you're a work in progress, you also know that your name is written in the Book of Life. If you are, your name is written in the Book of Life. Your name is written in heaven in that book. And God knows all names that are written in there. And when someone comes to Christ, the scripture tells us there's a celebration in the heaven. Celebration into heaven, and another name put in the Lamb's Book of Life. Which reminds me, what the scripture continues to tell us, is that God keeps his promises. That's where our faith is. We know that these things will happen. We know these things are happening. That a heaven awaits me. That a heaven awaits you. If you are a believer and you have salvation, heaven awaits you. You know that that's something you can long for, that you are being patient and waiting for. But in the meantime, you're a work in progress. You're still, God's still working on you. But never take your eyes off the prize. Never take your eyes off of heaven. Never take your eyes off that. Because if you're saved, that's where you're going. You are a magnet. You are through time being eventually pulled. You are pulled there more and more and more and more. Know who you are in Christ. This is all centered around Christ. And God, through His grace, allows us to be a part of that. So God keeps His promises. And seeing that he's in prison, he knows this, that God has never left him. Even in prison, he's not alone. Isn't it awesome to know that wherever you're going, whatever you're going through, that you know that God has not left you? That you're not alone? And you're not alone. You're not alone. And I remind myself when I read these scriptures, because I love to read the book of Philippians, that reminds me of the scriptures where it says to be absent from the body. He says also to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. What he is telling, what he is, it's a reassuring confidence, peace for all of us, this, that I'm in Christ today. But even if I'm absent from here, I'm in Christ there. I can't run from Christ. I don't want to run from Christ. He's with me here, and he'll be with me after death. There's none of that empty moments. There's not going to be empty spots where he's not with us. He is with us continuously. From the moment you ask Christ into your life, he is with you. He will stick with you all the way to the end, even still knowing that you're going to be a work in progress. That's God's grace. We are a mess sometimes. And God is patient and understanding, and his mercy flows through us, and his grace comes over us, knowing we're still a work in progress, but that we know this, that to be absent from the body, even though I die, I'm in the presence of the Lord. My spirit is there until the second coming. Which says this, God says, when you come to me through my Son Jesus Christ, I've got you all the way through. I got you through life, I got you through the moment of death, and I got your everlasting life. Christ has you. There's no better deal than that. Christ paid for it. It's for us. But Paul says, listen, I'm still a work in progress. And even when I'm a work in progress, and as a Christian, I know this, it's going to rain in my life. It's going to rain problems from time to time. It's going to rain troubles from time to time. It's going to rain some things. It's going to have some storms in my life. I know that. I know that it's going to rain. But I also know that the sun comes up in the morning. That the sun comes. And nothing is more beautiful. You can be in this continuous to be in the sun all the time. And it's great. But you kind of get used to it. But when it storms for 3 or 4 days, you just can't wait for the sun to shine. And when that sun breaks through, it feels good, doesn't it? It feels right. You have been anticipating it. You've been ready for it. And when it shines and radiates all over you because you're not taking it for granted. And when those problems and troubles, and they start to dissipate, it's because the Lord is shining on you. And we need to know that no matter what circumstance that we're in, no matter what's going on in our life, no matter what kind of storm we have, whether it's a rain, we got problems, we got snow, all that stuff, we just know this, Christ is going to shine on me. The world doesn't have to see it. You just need to realize it, that it is truth. Even through darkness, Christ's love and mercy and forgiveness will shine on you. When the world can't see it, you need to fall back on it. Greater is he is in me than he that is in the word and the world. Start knowing some scripture there. And when it rains, you know what happens? You begin to appreciate the sunshine. Once again, God has us once from salvation. He has us all the way through. Not just the salvation at that moment, not just through death and not through afterlife, but everything in between. When it gets rough for you, it's an opportunity for Christ to shine on you. You just got to let him. You got to be ready for that. And through that time when it's all down and it's, everything is looking down and it's getting dark, I want to tell you, that's when you got to learn how to worship God through the hard times. Not just in the good times and not just in the happy times, but in the sad times. Not just in the times of gain, but in the times of loss. In the times of hurts and pains and sorrow. You're going to learn how to praise him there, because I'm telling you, when you start praising, which you're lifting up the name of Christ in your circumstances, when you lift up praises, blessings come down. When's the last time you had a blessing? Listen, praise the Lord. Lift up your praises up. Blessings come down. Who needs a blessing today? I can't give it to you. Not the kind that you need. And if I was able to give it to you, it'd only be Christ working through me. Because we don't know how to be good to each other. So I want to praise the Lord, lift my praises up to Him, and blessings come down. We're in problems because we don't want to lift up the Lord. We lift up our problems, but we're not lifting up the Lord. And we know that He's the one that can solve those problems. Yes, we get ourselves in trouble, and there's consequences to our actions. But that doesn't mean God's going to stop loving you. That doesn't mean God's not going to forgive you when you ask. That doesn't mean God's not going to shine some sunshine on you. It doesn't mean that God's not going to bless you. You just got to work through it and deal with it and work it out and confess it. And God begins to do amazing things. But sometimes those storms come not because of your sin, but because of life. Because of life. And God sees it and says, there's a faithful servant. Listen, it would be amazing. And God doesn't, wouldn't it be something if God opened our eyes and let us see all the angels that are working around us? Woo. You know why I believe He doesn't? Because He doesn't want our faith to be in what we see. He wants to be from here, not with these. From here. Because once it moves from here to here, then we always want to see more. We want to see more. And it's all about what we see, not about what our heart and our soul. And that faith. It's not in seeing. Faith is believing. So I'm going to praise Him. And you need to praise Him. Because He's worthy. And lift up the praises and the blessings come down. And I'm done looking back. He says, I'm forgetting what's behind me. You see, Paul had some things behind him. Paul used to persecute the church. Paul saw Christians be put to death. Paul says, I'm not looking in the back. I'm pressing on. I'm going looking forward. And I want to tell you what happens when you start looking back. You start seeing all the negative. You start seeing all the darkness. And that's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to remember the darkness. He wants you to look at those things that you're not good enough. You're not worthy enough for God. And but God is saying, listen, you're a work in progress. You keep going forward. You keep going forward. You keep going forward because heaven awaits for you. How many of y'all got things in your past and you was, whoa, I'm not looking back there no more. I was there, I did it, whatever it is, I did those things. I'm telling you, that's the old self. And I'm not going back there, I'm going forward. Because that's already stolen enough of my life. That stole my joy, that stole my happiness. It stole all kinds of things from my life. But I'm not going back there. Through Christ, I'm going to be able to do this thing, and I'm going forward. And I'm not looking back. Let me tell you something. Most people, when they get depressed, they're looking back. Most people who are getting depressed are starting to look back at where they and what they used to do and what they used to be. And Christ doesn't want us to be that way. Because even when we get to those moments and we have a battle with Christ, He even says here, now I can do all things through Christ. I can accomplish this through Christ because He'll strengthen me. I can do all of this through Christ. I can do this thing. And when you start doing these things, I'm going to tell you, you start to go into some areas of spiritual growth where it's not just about what you're going through, but now you begin to share with others about their burdens. Not that you're going to fix their junk or their burdens, but you're going to be able to share and listen without casting judgment, but showing love and mercy. And if need be, sometimes it is correction, but you do it in love, but you check yourself first. Some of us are discouraged and depressed because we won't open up to others. We won't find that one person that we need to trust. Listen, we need to trust ourselves, trust our brothers and sisters. We need to do that. We need to do that. Because we're not very good at carrying our own junk. It's too much. It's too heavy. Sometimes we need to sit down, have a popper, coffee, and just share and say, things aren't going good, but for me, but we're afraid that this other person is going to judge us and put us down or talk about it. Listen, pray and ask God to put someone in your heart that He'll move and that you can just take a step of just an act of courage and just trust and share what that problem might be or whatever you're going through so that you're not carrying it alone. God works through people. God works through people. Don't look for a lightning strike to come down and fix all your problems. God works through people. And if you don't like people, oh, I'm sorry, that's God's business. God loves people. The Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. He put it all in. He put everything in because He loves people, and we need to love people. And if someone shares with you, you don't go out and start talking about their burdens and their problems. You keep it in confidence with them. But I'm telling you, some of you are discouraged and depressed because you won't share your stuff with someone. Now listen, if you go around and share your stuff with everybody, then what's going to happen is people's going to start doing this. They're going to start walking away from you because basically sometimes when you share it with everybody, there's usually another motive behind it. Okay? And you probably get where I'm going, but I'm telling you, you got something that's personal. You're trying to get through something. I'm telling you, God works through people. Amen? God works through people. But also, I want to tell you this. Scriptures, He tells us this, that my God will meet all your needs. All your needs to His glory, according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. What He's saying is, God will meet all your needs. Didn't say He meet all your wants, but He meets your needs. And when you're walking in the Lord and you're faithful and you're a good steward of what He gives you and you're faithful, God also grants and gives many of our wants. Doesn't mean He has favorites. But when you praise Him, blessings come. You lift your praises up, blessings come. Down. The Bible says if you draw close to God, He'll draw close to you. You see what both of those were? I'm communicating with God. I'm drawing to God. I'm drawing to God. I'm getting closer to Him, and He's getting closer to me. What does that mean? I take a step, God takes a step. No. If I'm looking at Amber here and I start walking to her, guess what? I'm getting closer to her. But she's also getting closer to me. What I'm saying is God's never moved. He's always been here. He's always there. So when I draw closer to Him, He's drawing closer to me. To Him, I'm drawing closer. He's always been there. God will meet your needs. God loves blessing people. If you read your scriptures in the Old Testament, there was an excitement in the scriptures when He was blessing. There was an excitement in the scriptures when He's blessing. And His blessings was, and this excitement was showing through the people. There was always praise and worship of the people coming out of Exodus, out of Egypt. All of a sudden, when God begins to bless in some other places in the scriptures, going to the promised land and all those kind of things. And there's always, and people get excited coming back for the Lord. And you see it, and God begins to bless even through Nehemiah, all that. And the people are excited. And that's an expression of God's joy through the people. God will meet your needs. If you'll let Him. If you'll let Him. If you'll let Him do that. So what am I getting out of all this? What am I getting out? This is what I know. He's a work in progress. The great Apostle Paul is a work in progress. You and I should admit that we are a work in progress. And that everything that I'm doing, everything that I know, is everything that I'm processing is everything is about Christ. Everything is in me is about Christ. Listen, we fight battles, but we're fighting out a victory. Do you understand that? If you can understand you're fighting out a victory, when you have Christ in your life, you're fighting out a victory. The war is over, but you are fighting some battles. But there is an infinite end that you have won because you won through Christ. You won through Christ. So, listen, when you're going through something, know this. You're fighting for victory. You're fighting for victory. If you really realize how powerful the Holy Spirit dwells inside of each and one of you, oh my goodness, this church would be ecstatic, amazing, and much more than I believe it is. When we would realize and understand the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in each one of you. Listen, there is a danger. I'm going to tell you, there is a danger in working in ministry. And I say that for you that are working in ministry, and I have to remind myself, ministry is what God called us to do. Ministry does not mean that you're right with God. Just because you're doing ministry does not mean that you're right with God. You might be doing what He's called you to do, but it doesn't mean this is right. Doesn't mean your soul is right. So what I'm trying to tell you is you make sure you're right with God first. Make sure you're right with God first. And how do you know that? You don't ask yourself, hey, am I a good guy? Am I a good lady? No. You get yourself before Christ and you get yourself before God and say, this, what is it, God? You begin to ask Him questions. What is it in me that needs to be moved or needs to be changed? Or what is it that I need to process? Why am I so stubborn? Help me out. And when I just said that, why am I just so stubborn? That's how the Holy Spirit speaks. When you start praying, you begin to put it out there, and you didn't even realize it. God is speaking. And so your prayer, when you listen to your own prayer, once you get in that first few minutes, you begin to, the Holy Spirit speaks through your own voice. There's a maturity level of understanding that. I hope some of you just got what I just said. When you pray, I'm not talking about that drive-through prayer. I'm not talking about that 10-second prayer or that Lord help me, bless me, and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about when you really start praying, you start talking to God. I'm telling you, within a few moments, what you begin to say is actually not you saying it. It's the Holy Spirit working through you, because really, we do not really know how to pray and speak to God, who is holy and perfect. We are flawed, yet we are saved. We are messed up, but we are renewed. But it's all through Christ that we're able to do that. Someone asked you a question. Are you a work in progress? Do you know that work that God's trying to do on you? You know that you can do it. You can do all these things through Christ. Do you know that He's going to meet your needs? You know that He's expecting you. He allows storms to come in your life because you need them sometimes. You need them in your life for your faith to grow. You need some setbacks from time to time where you need to grow in your faith. What does all this mean? It's keeping Christ in your life, being confident who you are, not as an individual, but being confident in your life of knowing who He is and knowing who you are, and Him and you together. And no one can tell me that I'm not saved. No one can tell me I lost my salvation. I know this, that I am saved. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Heaven awaits me. I've got a life to live, and it gets a little tough at times. It's going to rain, but I'm telling you, I know my Lord. He's faithful. I know my Lord. It's been a long time. I know my Lord. He is faithful, and He is going to work this out, and I know it. And next thing I know, oh, there's a break in the clouds. It wasn't that I didn't think it was going to happen as I was looking. Where is it going to happen at? And it's over there. I love the Lord. I'm telling you, I love Jesus. He's awesome. I can't wait to see Him. I cannot wait to see Him. But that's what awaits a believer, to see Him. And I'm not going to be able to express, and you're not going to be able to express all that He has done for you. All the savings of our family and all the things. But God is faithful. Amen. I'm asking you today, whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, be faithful with it. Be faithful with it. Let's go ahead and stand. I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning. If you want to come and pray, you want to come and pray before the Lord, whatever He's working in your life, come on down and just get right with God. If you need to share a burden, come down. And maybe there's somebody in the church you want to share something with, you're struggling with, you're carrying it on your own. I'm telling you, God works through people. God works through people. Go to a person who's walking in the Lord. Go to a person that you know. Not always have to be your best friend. You need to go to a spiritual person. Doesn't mean they got their life all together, but they You just know. You know in the spirit that they are speaking, they're living the life that God's called them to live.